View of my employer's wife. In the four-poster bed, my employer's wife, Calla Murray, lying beside me, the world seemed in perfect order. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, March 13, 1927. I almost drifted off to sleep, but then I felt a jolt of unease. This was natural to my character. It occurred to me that hidden deep inside my sense of the world in perfect order was the fear that the worst was on its way. It was snowing. The room had light only from the coals in the fireplace and the street lamp outside the windows. The world in perfect order, my room at least. I was living in room 28 of the Halliburton House Inn on Morris Street, Halifax, Nova Scotia. The Herald for March 12th carried the headline, "Temp Drops to Coldest in 50 Years." There was a photograph of a man wearing a thick overcoat, face invisible under a knit cap, leaning into the terrible blizzard that took the city nearly a week to dig out from under. The caption of that particular photograph was, "Postal employee Dirk Meckholm heads home. The right direction? A little humor in the bleakness." Also on page one, the British ambassador to Canada would stay in Halifax until the weather cleared. The shipping page announced that a Danish steamer, the Lifland, after delivering sugar for the Woodside refinery and lying in harbor for a week, was locked in ice and couldn't set out for Glasgow via London. Also on the shipping page, quote, "The schooner Annabel Cameron was at first waterlogged, but within a day ice-logged, and the entire crew finally rescued by heroic dorymen navigating a barrage of needle ice and fog," unquote. I remember thinking that that sentence had a nice ring to it. More important to my immediate situation, though, was the brief article on page 11, "Expert to lecture on spirit photographs." That expert was Calla Murray. Calla and her husband, my employer Vienna Lynn, and I had arrived at the Halliburton House Inn on January 8th. Our train journey had originated in Churchill, Manitoba, and had taken a total of 9 days, the last leg of which, Winnipeg to Halifax, was all fits and starts. The blizzard hit mercilessly hard on that stretch. Half a dozen times, the engineers had to stop the train and, with the help of porters, hack away at ice. "You get 1,000 miles of snow on a roof," a porter said. He was clutching a cup of hot tea. His boots caked with frozen slush. I've witnessed it cave that roof in. Vienna and Calla at first occupied room 5 together in the main building. My room was number 28 in the annex, a building with a separate entrance next door. But by early March, Calla had moved to room 20. As Calla put it, their marriage was a loveless sham, always had been, I suppose. She could be quite blunt. To describe it in the simplest of terms, Vienna was a photographer, and I was his assistant. He had persuaded the proprietor of the Halliburton House Inn, Mrs. Bettina Sorrell, to rent him use of one of the pantries directly off the kitchen as a dark room, $10 a month. I had been away from Halifax in September 1926. When I returned, I never once walked past the house where my mother, aunt, and I lived together, at 127 Roby Street. It was as if the past would judge me, the house would judge me, that merely looking at it would somehow cause me to calibrate my life, and in all aspects of usefulness I would come up short. Next to the bed in my room was a square oak table. On the table was a round doily, a heavy iron candle holder, a white candle in it. The housekeeper always put a new candle in if need be. Otherwise, there were oil lamps set about. The armoire was nearly 6 feet in height, a few inches taller than I am. It was situated across the bed in the left-hand corner of the room next to the window overlooking Morris Street. For Halifax, Morris Street was steeply inclined. One late afternoon, I looked out and saw a daredevil boy ice skate down. The street was glazed in ice. The boy disappeared into the fog extending up from the harbor.